Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Romans, chapter 1, and if you're able to stand in the reading of God's Word, I've entitled this, Abandoned by God. That's a bad thing, to be abandoned by God. Abandoned by God. We're going to start reading in verse 24, and we'll read down to the end of the chapter. Verse 24, it says, "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God, in their knowledge God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." Now, Father, we ask that you would illuminate our understanding to the truth of these words. Lord, this was written 2,000 years ago, and yet it is just as viable today as it was when it was first penned. So, God, I just ask that you would speak to our hearts this morning, move in our midst, and, Lord, let us not shrink from what is wrong to declare that. But yet declare the righteousness of God and the safety we have in Jesus Christ our Lord. His name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now there's a catalog of sinfulness of man in just these verses. And it shows that man is wicked, man is evil. And when we get down to our base nature, there's probably not much of anything that people would do and say, well, I would never do anything like that. By the grace of God. And that's all we can say, by the grace of God. And it's characterized as ungodly and unrighteous people. And we're not surprised by this. I mean, good grief, we're surrounded by it in our society today. And I think we've kind of come to that point of what Isaiah was talking about, that for that which is evil, they say is good. And that which is good, they say is evil. And as we'll see as we get into this message, you know, because we don't live in a world of isolation, and we're not to live in a world of isolation. Now, separation or sanctification, yes, but isolation, no, because we have to live in this world. And we do live in this world, we are to make a difference wherever we're at. Now, we're all kind of susceptible to something, and just kind of who we are, and this is why we have to remain close to the Lord. And but it always happens that it seems like a society descends into a immoral pit. In the decline and fall of the Roman Empire, Gibbons wrote a massive work about Rome and how they declined in such a way they did. But when Rome first began, it was not the Rome when it ended. Rome, when it started, was actually a very moral place. They didn't have all those idols and all the rest of that stuff when they first started. As a matter of fact, for the first 500 years, divorce was unheard of in Rome. But as it declined, it got worse and worse. But, you know, man is not good, and we've got to mark this at the very beginning because of our nature. And this is why we've needed Jesus Christ. This is why we need the Lord. This is why we need God in our lives. And God sent his only begotten Son to die upon the cross, to take our sin upon him. And I'll probably say this a few times this morning. Took our sin, not our sins. Sin, the very nature of sin, he took upon himself. But our nature has a certain bent. It's who we are. But God will give us a new nature when we have received the Lord. But Paul says three times, verse 24, 26, and 28, God gave them up. God gave them up. God gave them over. In other words, I kind of call it the Toyota syndrome. You asked for it, you got it. You know, and that's just the truth. But God said he will abandon an individual and give them over to that which they desire. And you say, well, how far do they go? I don't want to know. I don't know if it's just a little bit or if it's a long way. Genesis chapter 6 verse 3 says, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. My spirit will not always strive with man. That means I will not always desire you. I will not always long after you or cry out after you. I'll not always do that. And you say, well, where is that demarcation line that you've gone too far? I don't know. That's the thing, is I don't know, and neither do any of us. It's not one of these things, if this is the line right here, or say this is the line, right? You just don't want to, you know, do a balancing act to stay over here. You just stay as far away as you can. And this is why when a person gets saved, we say, well, you need to be separated from the world. Well, I say you need to be separated to God. When we're separated to God, we keep our eyes, we keep our attention, we keep our heart upon him in whom sought us and loved us and saved us from that. And when we have our attention on him, he doesn't say look back. He just says, keep your eyes upon me. Keep your attention upon me. And you know something? All that other stuff will take care of itself. But a man, and even mankind, all mankind, will not be able to restrain their sinfulness. People have tried to do that in the flesh done all kinds of things that to try to stop themselves. But the fact of the matter is, God is our salvation and our hope. Oswald Chambers wrote this. If you didn't know, I like Oswald Chambers. He says a lot of things that are good. He says, I cannot save and sanctify myself. I cannot atone for sin. I cannot redeem the world. I cannot make right what is wrong, pure what is impure, holy what is unholy. He says, this is all the sovereign work of God. Have I faith in what Jesus Christ has done? He has made a perfect atonement. Am I in the habit of constantly realizing it? The great need is not to do things, but to believe. The redemption of Christ is not an experience. It is the great act of God which he has performed through Christ, and I have to build my faith upon it. If I construct my faith on my experience, I produce that most unscriptural type, an isolated life, my eyes fixed on my own whiteness or my own purity, my own self-righteousness. Beware of the piety that has no presupposition in the atonement of the Lord. It is of no use for anything to be but a sequestered life. Let me read that again. It is of no use for anything but a sequestered life. It is useless to God and a nuisance to man. Measure every type of experience by our Lord himself. We cannot do anything pleasing to God unless we deliberately build on the presupposition of the atonement. The atonement of Jesus has to work out in practical, unobtrusive ways in my life. Every time I obey, absolute deity is on my side, so that the grace of God and natural obedience coincide. Obedience means that I have banked everything on the atonement, and my obedience is met immediately by the delight of the supernatural grace of God. Beware of the piety that denies the natural life. It is a fraud. Continually bring yourself to the bar of the atonement. Where is the discernment of the atonement in this thing and that and in that? He says, always go back to what it is to Jesus Christ. Atone for our sin. Romans 3:10, it says, as it is written. Now, that comes from Psalms 14 and Isaiah 53. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. He doesn't say, no, not one except, no, not one but. No, doesn't say that at all. He says, no, not one. You may even see who appears to be right in every way and be in the most heinous sin. In other words, you can... Have you ever met someone, it just seems everything appears right. I mean, on the outward, I mean, they talk right, they smell right, they do right, everything's right, but there's something wrong. There's something they're into that you don't even know they could be in the worst. Man, many times we can't help ourselves. And you say, well, we can help ourselves. Well, we need to continue to turn to God. Those three times in verse 24, 26, and 28, God gave them over. God gave them over. God gave them up. Verse 28, it says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Now, word reprobate comes from the Greek word adokimos. It means our thinking or our thoughts that are worthless, that are unapproved, and these thoughts that should be rejected. It's the idea that the body and the soul will be in the union with where the mind or the thinking goes. In other words, whatever we think, that we follow whatever that is and how deep and dark in those areas that we can go. And let me tell you, you think, well, he can only go so far down. I don't think that mankind has hit bottom yet. It's going to come. But when the end comes, hope is going to flood this world named Jesus Christ. It is about the restraining influence, the fruit of the Spirit. The last one, he talks about temperance. The fruit of the Spirit is temperance. In other words, self-control. Self-control. Have you ever been out of control? I am. I have. I've been out of control. Just completely out of control. Was it a good thing? No. But, Albert, were you there? You saw me? Say, that wasn't a good thing, Pastor. I saw you. No. That was, you know... I like the fact that it's nice to be in control. You know, there was a time that I would, you know, work to be out of control. And it's a wicked thing, you know. It's a wicked thing. But we must be abandoned to God or we'll be abandoned by God. See, what do you mean by that? In other words, when we are abandoned to God, it means that we trust in everything and all about in who He is. It is that what Jesus Christ had done upon the cross was buried and rose again. That is everything. He is everything to me and everything. You know, Jesus Christ will not only save your soul, He'll save your life. He'll save your relationships. He will save your career. He will save everything. It's amazing when God saves your soul, He saves everything. I didn't realize of the impact He made in every area of my life and of yours as you allow Him or we embrace Him in greater ways. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 13, it says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." 2 Thessalonians chapter 5 through 12, it's the final restraints. He talks about the final restraints will be left off. Let's run over there and look at this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I keep going right past it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, look in verse 5. It says, "Remember ye not that when I was yet with you." Now this is Paul, he's talking to the Thessalonians. Now, the Thessalonians had believed that they had missed the rapture. Okay? And he says, "Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time." Now he's talking about the devil himself, okay? He says, "For the mystery," verse 7, "for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." Now the word letteth or let means to hinder, okay? "And then shall that wicked be revealed. When that restraining Holy Spirit is taken out of the way, the devil himself will be revealed, that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming." Okay, that brightness means the manifestation of the Lord. "Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved." Verse 11, "And for this cause, because those who did not receive the Lord Jesus Christ rejected the gospel," he says in verse 11, "and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." Now, what is he saying there? Paul is saying those that who have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and says, "Tomorrow, maybe tomorrow," or "You have almost convinced me. You have almost got me." And then when the Lord comes and he calls His redeemed, those that have repented and received the Lord Jesus Christ, as God has called them out, those that are left, those that have heard the gospel and did not receive Him, God will send strong delusion. What does that mean? You're not going to get saved. You say, "What? That's messed up." He's telling you what's going on. Today's the day of salvation, not tomorrow. We have no promise of tomorrow. Now, there's going to be a tomorrow. It all depends. We're going to be in it. What he's saying is he'll send strong delusion, and it's amazing that those people who had heard the gospel will turn to hate anything about God. But what about those who have never heard the gospel? They don't have strong delusion. They've never heard. Okay? People are going to be saved during the tribulation, but not those that have already heard the gospel. That includes everybody in here. I just talked about the gospel. So, Psalm 81 verses 11 and 12 says, "But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own hearts, their own hearts' lust, and they walked in their own counsels." You know, those are horrifying words. He says, "You want this? I'll give you over to it, to where..." And you know, when a person goes to hell, I believe that those longings will be multiplied, that will never, ever, ever be satisfied. It's going to be it's a horrible thing. Ephraim, when you see Ephraim in scripture, it's a term designating Israel, was joined to idols. He says, let him alone. He says, let them have their idols. Let them have it. In Matthew 15:14, let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. And it goes on and on. Acts chapter 7 and 37 through 42, Stephen preached just before his death about the Lord. Acts 14:16, he says, who in times past suffered or allowed all nations to walk in their own ways. I mean, we have seen it in the 20th century. If any of you are students of history, you have seen what has happened when people are given over to their own ways. Because Russia would not hold up Jesus Christ, what happened? They took God out. They took God out for 70 some years. God was not to be spoken in that country. In Nazi Germany, yeah, it was a bad situation after World War I. But you know something? They allowed a guy like Adolf Hitler to come in there and start that world war, and how many millions of people died? How many innocent died? You know, it's, look at China. Because that people wanted that communism, hundreds of millions have been murdered. Hundreds of millions. And look at Venezuela today. People are starving. They're having diseases down there that they should never have. That is the richest country in South America, and today it is the poorest. They have to go to Colombia to get food and medicine. They can't even get insulin for diabetics. I mean, it's a terrible place. But see, you know, when people embrace that stuff, this is the junk that comes along. And today, people are trying to tell us, let me tell you, a complete lie in this country. But you know, there's people that are going to it. And it's a sad thing. But let me just say, all these things, they don't come overnight. It comes, and it builds. Now, in the past, we've looked at verses 18 through 20. We looked at the revelation, 18 through 20, that there is no excuse for man. Verse 21, we spoke about rejection in weeks past. And verse 22, rationalization. Verse 23, we look at that. It says, and change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. It's religion, just pure religion. But then we look at reprobation, and how is God's wrath being revealed? By giving men up to their own sinfulness. This is how it works. They become saturated in their own sin, no matter what it is. It gives the idea that they're dipped in it and absorbed in it, and it has permeated every molecule of their body, their mind, and their heart. He lets them go, and the consequences of their own sin is the outworking of God's wrath. They say, are you saying God's wrath are on those people? Let me tell you, when people get into things that they should not get into, and they get sick, or they get diseased, or they kill themselves with alcohol or drugs or whatever, that's the consequences of sin. You say, well, that's God's wrath. Isn't that enough? He says, you do this, this is what's going to happen. And that should be enough to say, whoa. I have to say, I smoked for a number of years, not as long as I talked to Brother Charles Hudson a few times. You know, if I end up getting cancer or something like that, whose fault is that? That's mine. We talked about that. We talked a little bit about it. And as I came out of the hospital yesterday, I was kind of walking along, and there's half a dozen people smoking a cigarette. Now, I didn't want to be self-righteous or anything, but it went through my head. I just wanted to tell them, I just left a friend of mine. He's going through chemo because he has lung cancer. Because of cigarettes. You think, well, that'd be kind of rude to say that, but I was sure thinking it. I just want to say, why didn't you just stop? It's not good for you. You could end up having lung cancer. And, it's just a result of our sin, right? Those are consequences. We can be saved from our sin, but we're not always saved from our consequences. This isn't easy stuff. Listen, this is not easy to deal with. This kind of stuff that comes along, this is why I go through books, because I can't skip over the stuff that are uncomfortable to me, right? You got to talk about it. But we're going to look at the essence of sin, the expression of sin, and the extent of sin. So in the essence of sin, this is the delivery over to, in Matthew 10:17, but beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. Verse 19, but when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak. Verse 21, it says, and the brother shall deliver up the brother to death. In other words, to yield him up, to surrender him, to commit him to prison and whatnot. There's going to be a time that just the very essence of sin will give up people that one time you said you loved. Because, let me tell you, people love their sin. People love their sin. And I think there's many times, many Christians, they try to balance what is righteous and what is wrong, and you can't do it. You can't do either well. Sometimes people are very prejudiced towards those people that are Christians. C.S. Lewis, in his book, The Problem of Pain, says, the lost enjoy forever the horrible freedom they have debauched and are therefore self-enslaved. That's a heavy comment. It is self-enslavement to these things. As God gave them up, God let them go. He let sin bring its own consequence into their lives. Without God, there's really no abiding truth. Now, where is truth apart from God and the Word of God? There isn't. There's just our truth. It's kind of like when someone tells a lie, makes something up and tells a lie, you realize that becomes your truth and you can never forget that because you better make sure you include that into your life even when it's wrong. But the truth, you don't have to try to remember the truth because the truth is just what it is. It's true. What did I tell them and this kind of thing? That's a horrible way to live. Habakkuk 1:13, it says, thou art of pure eyes and to behold evil and canst not look on iniquity. See, the Lord is not going to look on the iniquity. And, individuals continue getting themselves into these things. God's going to give them up because he's just not going to look at it. He doesn't have to. God does not make us sin. He doesn't. We do that all on our own. It's nobody's fault but our own. True? It's true. It's our fault. I don't know if you've heard about a bill that is trying to get through Congress and the Senate. It was H.R. 5 in the House, and in the Senate, the bill was S-788. This bill was to provide special protection for the LGBTQ community. It's a Trojan horse to eventually finish off religious liberty. There was a lot of underpinnings in this thing to the point where, say if they came into your office and say a bake shop or a wedding planner or whatever it is, and I want you to say they came to Mrs. Rogers and says, I want you to do photo things of this thing, and you say, I can't do that. You know, say it's of a marriage of a same sex, and I can't do that, you know. Well, they'll sue you. They'll sue you right into jail. And that's what those meant. That's what it means. And, you know, if you're going to tell me that those things were done by accident, and I'll eat your hat if you think that's true. No, I won't. That's not true. Let's put it that way. People do things to try to make things, make people do things, because people are wicked. You know what I'm saying? When they come to Victoria, I want you to play some music for us. And you say, I can't do that. They sue you because you hurt their feelings. That's what that stuff is about. And be careful that these kind of things, that these things are done in the middle of the night. And they really are. Now, I don't think they passed, but, you know, in Isaiah 19:22, and it says, and the Lord shall smite Egypt. He shall smite and heal it. I mean, it's just what the Lord does. He's not going to mess with these things. But it's continually and constantly, it's something we have to stay on top of. Proverbs 4:23, it says, keep the heart with all diligence, for out of it are what? The issues of life, the source, the outgoings, and the boundaries of our life. This is where that we say, I am not going to go that far. This is where I stop. It's our boundaries to say, I can't do that. Because who lives within our heart? The Lord. God lives within. And he says, well, no, don't do that. Mark 7:21, he says, for from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts. Let me tell you, either when God is here and he stops us and he says, you're not going to, listen to him. Listen to him. He's doing that because he loves us, to keep us safe and to keep us healthy. It is nice to have, it's nice to be in control, isn't it? Isaiah 44:20, it says, he feedeth on ashes. A deceived heart hath turned him aside, that he cannot deliver his soul, nor say, is there not a lie in my right hand? It's pretty chilling to get to that point where you cannot help yourself, because in your right hand is just a continual lie. We don't want to live a lie. Living a lie is... God says you need to be free from that stuff. Don't lie to ourselves and start believing what we start reasoning to ourselves why we do or why we don't do something. Don't get in that mode. That isn't where the Lord wants us. And this is why Paul is telling the Romans to be careful about these things. I mean, the Corinthians had some issues and the Lord dealt with them. But when he dealt with them, God blessed them for it. Okay? 1 Corinthians 6:13, meats for the belly and the belly for the meats. But God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Listen, we are for God, and God is for us. We have the reason that we are on earth. People say, why am I here? We are here to have a relationship with God Almighty. This is why he made us, to have fellowship with him. Initially, first and foremost, is not to live for ourselves, but to live for God, with God, in God, and he in us. That is the reason of Christianity. That is the reason why we are here. That's why we exist. Is there no wonder people are killing themselves out there, because they've got absolutely no hope? They're saying, this is living, and there's nothing beyond that. My goodness, see, our young people, they are living more now than I think I ever did. And what I'm saying is getting into things that they shouldn't get into. And then they say, you have arrived. And you go like, man, that sure wasn't so satisfying. Where's the hope in any of this? And you said, well, I guess I've done everything. I guess I can check out of life because they're so depressed. And why shouldn't they be depressed? It's sad. It's a sad situation. But we have got, the hope resides within us. We've got the message. He lives within us. You say, well, man, I'm checking out. Whoa, wait a minute. You've got hope. There is hope that is before you to where you can actually live. The wisdom of this world. Have you heard some of the things that are going on today? I mean, the wisdom of the world, it's crazy. I was listening to the news and one of our, it was really funny. I guess we heard it last night. And, one of our presidential hopefuls, was complaining that in the, Constitution, there's no mention of woman in our Constitution. Did you see that? He says there's no mention of woman, and that's wrong. But as you know, there's no mention of man either. It says we the people. You know, I saw that and I went, what a numbskull. And he's a brainiac? Whatever. I'm like, that's frightening. And he was to run the country? Tells me the guy never read it. You know? I mean, today women want to be respected and they got stuff today that, I don't know. It's like holding the door for a woman, you know. I've had women say, you don't have to hold the door for me. Okay, next time I'll slam the door in your face. But you know, I still can't do that. My mother says, don't do that. Hold the door, whether they like it or not. I mean, I hold the door for guys. You know? It's just being polite for pity's sake. And, 1981, they have this, national movement. It's called the, National American Man-Boy Love Association. They should all be arrested. Thrown into a pit and just forgot about. You know? And I don't know. I get to the point where you think, how long, Lord? How long is this stuff going to go on, you know? Even so, come, Lord God. Look in verse 25 of Romans chapter 1. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who was blessed forever. Amen. The Creator, we worship the Creator. God doesn't make junk. And you say, well, to the point to where in New York, you know, you can come up to the point where you deliver a baby and then they say abort it. Are you kidding me? How can anybody do that? Let alone a doctor. Do no harm, right? Isn't that what doctors are supposed to do? Do no harm? Well, who are these guys that are doing that? They're butchers. You know. And, I think there's a place in hell for people like that. A special place in hell for them unless they don't repent and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I have met women who have had abortions and, women who, I tell you, they've gotten saved. And, you know, you talk with them and you feel sorry for them because they are miserable and they feel terrible. And, because they believed a lie, and it's a lie. It is just a lie. And, we've taken prayer out of school, And, somebody says as long as they still give tests, there'll always be prayer in school. Well, that's true. But do you remember, your teachers ever having a Bible on their desk? Do you ever remember that? Yeah, I do. I had a third grade, you did? I remember, one or two teachers actually had a Bible on their desk. And, even at that time, we couldn't pray, but we had a moment of silence, you know. And I still remember that. And her name was Miss Lyons. I still remember her. She had her Bible right there up on her desk. And during the quiet time, she would open it up and she'd read it and take a little time of prayer. I remember that. And I remember fondly that. And because I didn't, Mr. Quita, did you feel intimidated by that Bible? No. Miss Tina, did you feel intimidated by that Bible that was there? Neither did I. What's the big deal? You know? Well, let us not be hypocrites. Let's live in God, in Christ, and Christ in us. Let's learn to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We do not need to be abandoned by God. As we see things getting worse, we pray more. As we see things getting worse, we know God is getting closer to call us out of here. Let us not be discouraged by what we see, but know that God said this was going to happen for when He comes. Because we know how it ends. He has told us how things are going to happen. And you say, well, I don't want to have to go through that. From what I understand from Scripture, we won't. Christians, children of God, have not been made for the wrath of God. That is not why we have been made. We have been made to have a relationship. Let me ask you a question. If you knew something bad was coming, you see a fire in your house and you got three kids and two arms and you have to make a decision because one of them isn't yours and I'm not going to ask you who you're going to pick up first. You're going to try to get all three of them, but I guarantee you're going to go for yours first. But God is even more prejudiced than that. He loves us because He sent His Son to die for us. And when things get to the point where the devil is going to be let loose, He's going to call us out of here, and all hell is going to break loose on this earth. And so our families, the ones we love, our friends, they need to hear the hope of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't they? The hope that lies within us. Now, it is up to them if they want to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. But let us not have our mouths shut. Now, I have a funeral. I mentioned this before. It's coming up this month. I have a funeral I got to go to. And my aunt wanted me to do her funeral or her, what do they call it? Not funeral. Yeah. That thing. And this will probably be the last time I'll be able to share the gospel with the rest of my family. And I pray that I've been praying about this and thinking about it, that I can share the gospel to the point to where they would, now some of them are saved, but a lot of them are lost. But I want to tell them that there is hope. There is hope in Jesus Christ. And that they would believe that and receive the Lord. My aunt was a Christian. She's a Christian. We talked a number of times. And so it's easy to do that, they are Christians. And let me finish with this. Jeremiah 13:25. It says, because thou hast forgotten me and trusted in falsehood. Let's not trust in what's not right. Let us not trust in lies. We've got a lot of things that it seems like just vie for our attention. But my question is, if you died today, do you know that you go to heaven? If something happened to you, do you know for sure that you would? And you say, but Pastor, I'm a sinner. Well, we all are. But the difference is to repent of that sin and ask the Lord to save us. It changes everything. And you say, but I got to clean myself up first. No, no, no. You receive the Lord Jesus Christ and then let Him clean you up. Because He does such a good job, doesn't He? And you say, well, I hope He'd do a little bit more scrubbing. Ask Him. Lord, there's some areas of my life that need to be cleaned up. Scrub away. You know? And He will. Why? Because we are the children of God. And if you haven't received the Lord Jesus Christ, you're the children not of God, but you can be. Amen?